You're listening to the Texas Standard. You almost can't talk about the Texas economy without mentioning the oil and gas industry in the same breath. Much of the state's wealth and its global image is tied to energy production. But the oil market is a fickle beast. In a new piece for The New Yorker, staff writer Lawrence Wright tracks the booms and busts and looks at whether the state's fortunes might always be beholden to this black gold. Lawrence, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you are a native Texan. I've lived here for much of my life. We both think we know oil, but your piece really kind of explains it in a way that those who sort of think we have a cursory knowledge, it really goes a lot more in depth. You said you learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. I had the opportunity to go around to Houston and Midland and all the, you know, these places where oil is really, it's the world headquarters. You know, Texas is, and inside Texas, Houston is. And the hottest oil play in the world right now is once again the Permian Basin.
Absolutely. But to understand where we're at now, how far back does the state's history with oil and gas go? And how long have we been living with this boom and bust cycle that you track?
Well, I guess the Indians used oil for liniment, but the real history of the oil and gas industry in Texas begins in 1901 when there was a very disreputable fellow named Patillo Higgins. There was a place near Beaumont called the Sour Springs Mound, and he was sure he could find oil. And he enlisted some investors, and he drilled. And sure enough, at 1,000 feet, suddenly there was this gusher. Nobody had ever seen anything like this. It was shocking. He was aiming to get a well that would produce 50 gallons a day. But it was producing 100,000 barrels a day for the first 9 days before they capped it. That was more than all the wells in the United States combined. So it was an extraordinary transformation. And, you know, certainly all of, you know, these different oil companies came in and started drilling next to each other, and prices crashed. And that was the beginning of the great boom and bust cycle that has haunted our state ever since.
And right there it was. And you said it. I mean, Texas becomes immediately different from every other place just because of this rich resource that we have, which, like you said, has been a blessing and a curse. What have we sort of learned from those beginning days? And you do present that we're starting to diversify now.
Well, yes, fortunately, we are diversifying. Whether the lesson has been fully learned, I don't know, because, you know, I profiled three wells in this, and, you know, Spindletop is the first, and then the Daisy Bradford, which was the beginning of the great East Texas oil field boom. And the third one is S.H. Griffin number 4, which is the first fracked well in Texas that actually made a profit. And it's up south of Denton. And, you know, at that time, when that well came in, the idea that oil and gas were diminishing had taken hold. Peak oil was the phrase, you know, that we've arrived, or we're close to arriving at the point where half of all the oil and gas reserves have been taken. And after that, it's just a long slide down into diminishing returns. And oil companies began looking outside of the U.S. George Mitchell was a fascinating figure. He was an environmentalist, and he was a son of Greek immigrants into Texas. But he had a contract to supply Chicago with 10% of his natural gas needs. What he had was leases on 300,000 acres in the Barnett Shale, is a formation that covers 17 counties in North Texas. And his wells were all declining, so he had to find another way, or else he was going to be out of business. And fracking had been invented, but for gas, and especially in shale, which is tight rock, as the oil people say, it wasn't profitable. And he had no alternative. This is all. He had to find a way to make it profitable. It took him 17 years, 300 wells, $250 million of investment to make finally one of the wells profitable. And that's when the fracking revolution really began. You know, at that time, you know, oil prices had gotten up to nearly $150. And
a barrel, yeah.
Yeah. When I started writing this article for The New Yorker a year and a half ago, it took about $60 to make a profit on a fracked well, and now it's down to 25. Mm. So the oil prices have shot down. They're hovering around 50 now, but they're about a third of where they were.
And you do end on an optimistic note that, you know, Texas, yes, the oil industry remains an enormous part of our economy, but you also talk about, you know, Texas is a wind, right, you know, power resource. Do you think that the image in 50 years will be the oil baron in Texas, and that will remain the image that pops into mind when people talk about it? Or, you know, could it be the tech guru or something else like that?
Well, you know, those two figures are kind of merging now.
That's
you
true.
Know,
yeah.
Jeff Bezos just opened a huge wind farm in West Texas.
Yeah.
Texas already gets 18% of its energy needs from wind. And we have more wind farms than anyone, and we have plenty of wind. And, you know, solar is something that we haven't taken as much advantage of, but Austin has just signed a contract for a big solar supplement to mm-hmm. its energy needs. Texas will always be an energy center, you know, and natural gas will continue to be a big part of it for a long time. But what has happened with natural gas is that it has taken coal out of the equation. You may not know that we have a big coal plant outside of Austin. You know, we'd still get some of our energy from coal, but that's going to disappear, I think. And so natural gas and recyclables are the future.
It's a look at the past of the Texas oil and gas industry with an eye to the future. Lawrence Wright wrote about it for The New Yorker. He's an Austin-based staff writer, and it's part of a book that you're working on about Texas as a whole.
It's called God Save Texas,
right,
and it'll be out in April.
And we'll look forward to talking with you again when that comes out.
Thank you so much, Laura.